Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending college basketball tonight at Allen Fieldhouse, the Kansas Jayhawks top 25 matchup against UConn. Within the last half hour, Bill Self announcing that Darren Peterson will not play tonight, saying he is very close. He has, quote, worked his butt off, but he is still not 100%. He is day-to-day, so a bummer for that matchup tonight. K-State lost to Bowling Green last night. Missouri is in South Bend, taking on Notre Dame.
That was a tough one for Kansas State, Bowling Green. And they got, I was thinking, like 85-66 or something in that range. So not a particularly good. Haggerty can score, but everyone else can score against Kansas State as well. Next up on What's Trending, Steve Cohen is nearing approval for a casino that he wants to put near Citi Field there in New York. This was all part of the original plan, they thought, when he had purchased the team. I gotta say, though, for one of the highest payroll teams in the league, having a casino printing you money next door to it certainly seems like a good way to finance your future wants and needs from a roster construction standpoint there in New York. So Steve Cohen nearing approval for that deal.
This is why he was interested in buying the Mets too, though. This is
He's
all part of the plan.
Whole damn casino before we even know where the Royals are going to put their stadium.
Well, I just
want to know what's happening again, with the Chiefs and the Royals and the stadium stuff.
You and I laughed at the deadline thing because remember, based off of at least what on the politician side they were saying in Kansas that star bonds they expire at the end of the year and then we're just done. Right? Okay. Sure.
We'll see. See how serious they are in 29 days. We ought to ask somebody. See if they're still serious about that deadline. It's coming up.
It's
December.
We can do that. We'll text around. All right. Elsewhere on What's Trending, Kentucky has hired Oregon offensive coordinator Will Stein to be their next head coach after moving on from Mark Stoops for a 13-year run that he had there. Penn State reportedly their main target now, Kalani Sitake. He is the head coach at BYU. BYU in the Big 12 title game this weekend. Have a shot at a college football playoff berth. We'll see if this is actually where they go. There's a lot of speculation that Sataki's just kind of positioning himself and leveraging himself, but we'll see.
You got to do it, man. That's part of the game in college football. That would be a decent hire from Penn State. Doesn't feel like anybody wants that job, though. They have gone through some names. They let go of James Franklin. It doesn't feel like they're going to hire anyone better than James Franklin.
Nope.
When it's all said and done anyway.
Nope.
Which is not a great way to go about it. We saw that happen with other programs before in basketball and in football before. So it might just be heading the same way. Lastly on What's Trending, reports say Tiger Woods has begun chipping and putting again after his back surgery, but recovery is still slow from the disc surgery, but is at least back to some golf activity.
I mean
he's never won another major again.
He turns 50 in 3 weeks, okay? I mean,
what's the oldest major champion ever, Phil? Mickelson? Is that right?
Oldest to win a major?
Yeah, wasn't he? Didn't he just set that record?
I don't know if it was Phil. I'm going to be
Phil at the age of 50, Cody. There you go. Well done.
Thank you.
50 years old, 11 months and 7 days, almost 51 years old. So
he doesn't have the health issue. He didn't have the health issues.
Exactly right, Drew. No. That's exactly right. Look, we all want it one more time for that Sunday where he's in contention. But I think it's over, guys. I think it's well over here.
Yeah. I thought it was over before that Masters win, but now it's been, but it's been 5 years since that, probably.
He hasn't been able to play a full season. He hasn't been able to, he's been, he's just been playing in the majors. He's never going to win by just playing in the majors.
It's over, unfortunately. It sucks, but I think that's the case. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Nate Taylor from ESPN going to join us in studio. We'll discuss the latest on offensive line health moving forward. We'll ask him the same question we went through earlier today, just about how do you view Josh Simmons' rookie year now that we know it unfortunately likely is over with the wrist injury. And we'll talk Texans, what the Chiefs had to do against the number one defense in football in the path forward to get to the postseason. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Earlier, you know, we were listening to Andy Reid yesterday, and earlier we were discussing just penalties in the league, and we can get into the Chiefs specifically, but I still think more than ever we watch NFL games, and I don't care if you're a Chiefs fan, a Bills fan, Bengals fan, whatever. I think we can all agree officiating has never been worse in the NFL. And yes, I recognize that we have all these angles and replay and social media clips, and so we all focus in on it more than ever. But I do think, in particular, this year, with how defensive pass interference is called, for example, the ongoing roughing the passer issues that people always complain about, it's at an all-time low in this era of replay
and confidence HD
and
everything.
And, yeah, and confidence in officiating. And, you know, it sounds so simple, you know, we'll just get the calls right. Like, the refs are not intentionally missing the calls, guys. Like, there is a human error element to this, but I do not think the fix is just making every penalty reviewable. I think that is a terrible path forward. So what is the fix to this? We have to recognize that, as crappy as it is, mistakes are going to happen. But at the same time, the one fix that I think the league could do without even going the review route is, and we've been saying it for years, you are a league that's bringing in billions of dollars every year. Make your officials full time, for crying out loud.
Just
work
start
with the
there.
Work with the officiating, you know, whatever it is, the ref association. I don't know.
Don't let them go ref ACC games in their free time.
They need to become full time officials and not just the small grouping that I think they finally added. I'm talking about every official needs to become full time refs, where this is their focus to get better, to stay in shape, some of them as well, to keep up with the game. And also, if you want to talk replay review, the only conversation I'm willing to have about that is that each coach, along with their challenge that they have, like, lump it in. They want to challenge an incomplete pass, and it's not a replay assist, fine, or whatever they're challenging already. If they want to use that on a 15-yard face mask call that they think was bad, fine. But you get to do it once. That's it. Because I think we would all be upset with the replay review aspect that, hey, they're not going to overturn PI. We already went through this with the Saints situation many years ago when they allowed DPI to be reviewable. Remember that? And they never overturned it because technically it's subjective. So, like,
if you so much as put a hand on the guy, technically you've committed pass interference.
So not overturning that.
No.
The only calls that I think would get overturned are face masks that are just blatantly missed or blatantly called that the hand wasn't even near the face mask. Because if we're going to go into the holding review stuff, they're going to not overturn those either, Cody, because you could call holding on just about every single play.
I do think, and I'm not blaming the losses for it. I think for like the last month, though, I think the reason why it feels prevalent here in Kansas City is for genuinely a month straight, I don't feel like the Chiefs are being officiated evenly. I'm not saying it's a win or a loss thing. I'm just saying I'm about a month in of like, this isn't exactly balanced. Look, the last game was quite imbalanced. And they just kept calling phantom things, I thought, or calling it so damn tight that no team would be able to operate. And that's really what this comes down to. You know what I want more in reffing? Less flags. Can we talk about that? That's the problem with officiating right now. Keep the flag in your little hip pocket or wherever the hell you keep it in your little belt loop. Keep it there. It's enough. Like, you're just throwing it too often. I think that's a huge part of it. The last, like, month straight, I've had to watch the first two drives of every Chiefs game for both teams. Just flag, holding, formation. Like, all right, it's good. We got it. We got it. There are penalties. You can take 25% off, 30% less. They should all sit in a meeting and tell them, we're calling penalties 25% less than we call them now. So if one's close, it ain't. That's not a penalty anymore.
That sounds good in theory, but you also know, like, if that was actually ever some, you know,
meeting
directive that was handed down, like, as an official, I don't know if that works either. Like, as you're trying to officiate a game, you're like in the back of your mind, like, well, that was a penalty, but I was told I can't call as many. So then now we're all pissed off that they missed a blatant call. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, that doesn't work either, in my opinion.
And someone's like pointed out, like, twice the announcers are like, refs can't even do that. They let someone both choose the kickoff and which direction they were going, whether to kick or receive. They're just like making little mistakes.
The basic, some of the fundamental stuff they're getting wrong is what's inexcusable, as you said. The fact that you can't assess, there's a certain penalty you can't assess on a kickoff. It can only be assessed on the extra point. That cannot be something you miss as an official on the field. Like, that has nothing to do with replay. That has nothing to do with, like, that's just, you're not doing your job well. You don't know the damn rules. That goes back to the full-time officiating part of it.
I just think it all comes back down to this. And like, someone's like, let them practice more, then they'll make less mistakes. And you're like, but they care more about the games than the practices anyway. I'm just saying, maybe penalties should be more egregious in order to be called a penalty and allow for football to still be a somewhat physical game. You know, I know that they've taken some of this away. I don't know. It's just been hard to watch officiating wise the last month and a half. It's been obnoxious. Text line's like, the Chiefs are finally getting officiated like the rest of the league. You're not the favorites anymore. I was like, I refute that because they are one of the most penalized teams. They're 20th. I averaged it out. 21st in the Andy Reid era on average of penalized teams. So coaches change, refs change, crews change. Since Andy Reid has been the Chiefs head coach, they average 21st worst in penalties. You're trying to tell me they're not being officiated with more. It just feels like the big calls is where they're getting kind of burned. And I think Andy's kind of tired of it. And when you're losing, you get more tired of it. You know this works. You get sick. You get tired with the same reason we're talking about the broadcast. You get tired of hearing Tony Romo say something, or you get tired of the officials calling a face mask. Where you're like, the hell? Or Trent McDuffie for defensive pass interference 9 times in a row. I just want less refereeing, and I want less review. I just want them to just like play football and just let the chips lie.
I mean, I do think some of this is that the fact that we have over the last 15 years, you know, replay and every TV now is 4K and all the, like, it is
so
all perfect
and
like every little thing. And they're watching it just live. And so I'm not saying their job's not difficult, but I do think it has gotten worse. / we also are all just more knowledgeable. I think as a sports fan, like, I think everybody that watches it, not everybody, a lot of people that watch the NFL now know more about the league than they ever have because it's so accessible, which is a good thing, by the way, for fans, but it has also led a lot of people like know that that's just not right.
were texting in the middle of the Chiefs game when they were talking about whether or not Andy should have challenged the face mask on Juwan Taylor. And I had typed into the rundown, broadcast is saying you can challenge that? And you're like, I don't think that's challengeable.
Yeah,
and then it turns out it was New York Review. Was it last night? Or one of the games this weekend had a face mask call that got turned over by this guy judge. They immediately said, no, it's not a face mask. Pick up the flag. Before they even got done making the call. Told him to pick. I think it might have been the Bills Steelers.
I think that might be what it is. It's the inconsistency at which we see
why
calls.
Why is the replay assist happening for certain plays above others?
Is it because there's a different judge there? Is it because the officials in the game wanted to move along quicker so that allowed less time for the sky judge? Whatever it is, but isn't that
in this
part
case
of,
he just touched the shoulder?
As you guys mentioned, it feels like it's part of the full time, part time thing where being able to get everybody on the same page where this is your job. This is not like a side hustle. Like being and it's not like the NFL doesn't have enough money to pay the officials the proper amount of salary, I suppose, to become full time. It's just is that the difference? I mean, it might be. Is it as simple as that?
Yeah.
And just getting everything lined up where this is how it goes and it doesn't matter, and we're going to make sure everybody's on their P's and Q's.
I wish.
Because it definitely feels like some officials or crews know things better than others. Obviously, there's tendencies with flags and stuff, but like you guys were saying, the bare bones minimum of understanding how the game should be officiated is something I would think they go over during officials' meetings before the season.
You'd think so, but then they never de-emphasize something. It's always points of emphasis. Here's how to throw more flags. We're not calling enough pass interference. We're not calling enough.
Yeah, this is what we're looking for. Yeah.
It's never a de-emphasis. Like, hey guys, it's cool on the illegal formation. We got it. You can call that. They never go the other way. It's always points of emphasis on the things we don't call enough.
Yeah. I think there's the combination, as I said. Some of it is poor officiating happening as well. And then there's a lot of it that we just have more, you know, the clip will be replayed and we can tweet out a clip of that right there in 4K and everything. And we're able to see it slow motion and all that. So there is definitely a part of that. All right. Let's get to all 32. I talked about Ben Johnson yesterday for Stock Up. And that still applies a little bit today with this conversation. I was looking at the Coach of the Year market because yesterday we were all probably on FanDuel and stuff getting our free bets that we were for Missouri.
Sure was.
And Coach of the Year favorite is Mike Vrabel. And I get it. Look, they look awesome. Mike Vrabel in year one got Drake May. Probably going to be the number one seed. They're going to win their division. So this is not an anti-Mike Vrabel thing. I'm just saying if Ben Johnson, with the remaining schedule they have, if he ends up getting the one seed in the NFC, I think Ben Johnson should be the Coach of the Year over Vrabel. I'm saying if they are both number one seeds, I would have my vote. I don't have one for Ben Johnson over Mike Vrabel. And the thought process there is, you said it, one, you know, the division aspect of it. But what's impressive with Ben Johnson right now is Caleb Williams, and while eventually it is on him, the coach, this is not like Caleb Williams is playing at an MVP level.
He's not even playing at Drake May level.
Yeah, Drake May's playing at an MVP level, and that's in large part why they're where they're at. Caleb Williams is not by any means, and yet they're still going to do that. That to me is even more impressive in a weird way. So my vote would be Ben Johnson, but if they don't end up winning their division, then it's a no-brainer. Mike Vrabel is going to end up winning Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I don't mind either, I guess, at this point, mostly because the North is obviously a much more difficult division on aggregate and has more good teams. But anytime you knock off one of, this is why Sean Payton should be in at least a conversation. Anytime you knock off the stalwart of a division who's been winning it for 7 to 10 years in a row, just over and over and over again, I think that holds some weight. That's where I give Vrabel a nice advantage, where taking down the Bills in the division has not been some easy feat. They've been winning it every year. The North changes hands a little bit, you know? It's not the same team every year, and it does seem like the Lions and Packers are not quite as good as we thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, coaching, sticking with that, is there any world in which the new general manager of the Miami Dolphins just says, get Tua's ass out of here, but I'll keep Mike McDaniel?
The way they're playing.
That's what I'm at. Like, is there a world in which you're like, you know, I don't know that I want to go look for a new head coach. Mike McDaniel, somehow in the middle of all the upheaval we gave him and lack of talent this man has and losing Tyreek Hill, the team never quit on him.
They haven't.
They kept fighting. And look, they're not a good team.
I mean, they just beat the Saints and the Commanders in back-to-back weeks. Let's calm down.
Not a good football team. You know? I'm not claiming that. They're 5-7 on the season. But I think we'd all agree that they did not quit on Mike McDaniel. And that there are still some scheme things that people like that he does around the league. I think if he doesn't stay in Miami, I think there's a pretty good chance he ends up a head coach. I think there's a pretty good chance he just ends up with another team in this coaching cycle, being the head coach of some other squad. I don't know how many jobs are going to come open this year.
Usually 5 or 6.
But I wouldn't be stunned to find out if he's the new New York Jets head coach.
Oh, I don't think they're going to fire Eric Glenn. I think the Giants, by the way, are going to hire Mike McCarthy.
Ooh, they're going to go vet guy, huh? Mm-hmm. Either way, I think that Miami should actually maybe consider McDaniel. I don't think that he's the problem in Miami, and the problem is the quarterback.
Yes. If the Bengals miss the playoffs and Zach Taylor goes, please, by all means.
You want Mike McDaniel and Cincy?
Why not? Or at least have Spags be hire Spags as the head coach and then have Mike McDaniel be your OC.
You're trying to get Spags? I don't think you're getting Spags.
I would take
I don't think you're getting that.
If they offered Spags, I don't know.
I don't think they would offer him the job anyway. But yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So mine is, it has to do with New York, but there was a report that came out regarding Abdul Carter. Seems fake if you caught that yesterday. But in all seriousness, though, what in the world is up with him? He's been benched multiple times this year. He's the number 3 overall pick. He's not giving the production that you expect out of a top 3, top 5 pick.
What was the fake report? And then I saw Underdog tweeted out as fact as well. There was a fake Twitter account that we all were in our group chat talking about. Yeah. And then during the game, Underdog put out like one of their normal status updates, and it listed Abdul Carter, parentheses, pornography.
Yeah, I saw that.
The fake report was that he was watching it in team meetings.
And his headphones failed, or they disconnected.
Fake report. But you're not wrong in that Abdul Carter, but I mean, this happens every year. There are 2 or 3 busts or more in the top 15 every single year. And I'm not sure Abdul Carter's a bust by any means, but he does only have a half a sack this season. He was a top 5 pick, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think he was, I believe he was picked 3rd to buy the Giants.
That's pretty bad.
Because that was the talk, is could Abdul Carter go number 1? Like, I remember that was
the defensive
thing.
Player of the year, like rookie of the year, favorite kind of guy at one point.
It's kind of weird how he's not producing almost at all.
that report was not true, by the way. Text line.
No, it
was no.
I mean, we don't know for sure it wasn't.
I mean, yeah, it seems unlikely.
It was from a fake Twitter account, okay? And people got by this parody account.
Look, he might have fallen asleep during a meeting or might have been not paying attention.
He's obviously
not doing
something he's supposed to do as far as work goes. You can't make it to work without getting through a meeting that way. Then you got problems. And it's not going to work
out. Tells me as an NFL player, it's not something you should be worrying about anyway, you know? Should be all right. Should be all right there.
You should probably stop trying to get benched by now multiple head coaches, right? Because Dable benched him for a quarter in a previous, right? So this is two different head coaches now that have done it.
Yeah, it's not good.
All right, great. The Chiefs can trade for him, and they'll fix him. Problem solved.
Perfect.
I'll tell you right now, I am not just solve the defensive end in the draft. I feel like they got to, like, sign a free agent or pay or
would
trade
you be, for somebody. I know we joked about Justin Jefferson. Would you give up two firsts and Trent McDuffie for Myles Garrett? Would you give up the two firsts?
And two firsts. I can't do that. I can't do that.
For Myles Garrett? He might go down as the best pass rusher ever.
I understand, but I can't give up McDuffie, who has maybe two first-round pick value, and give them two
first round picks for
that. I can't do that.
So
that's too much.
Now,
that's too much.
Would I just give them two first round picks straight up?
Oh, well, of course.
Immediately.
It would take more than that, I would think. But yeah.
I agree. But
immediately.
But yes.
They can have two first round picks and George Karlaftis.
Yeah. There you go.
If they want that.
I'm sure they'd
love it. Cody trying to make Madden trades out here.
I just said if they take it.
Cody's got auto accept on or whatever it is on franchise mode where it's like the computer accepts any trade you put forward.
We want two picks and a player.
Three seventh round picks for Myles Garrett. Accepted.
Man, has 19 sacks
this year.
He's
going to break the record.
Do the Chiefs have 19 sacks?
He's going to break the record. I do not know the number.
Does their entire defensive line have 19 sacks?
I would guess no.
Yeah, Myles Garrett will break Strahan's record. Absolutely.
I'm really curious now.
I'll let you look that up.
Maybe when we come back with a break. Yeah.
Up next, let's talk more about all three locals college basketball. Mixed bag across the board. Two of them in action tonight. And the random question of the day.
Drew, you looked up in the break how many sacks the Chiefs' defensive line has?
Yep.
And?
Again, Myles Garrett has 19 sacks as an individual human being.
He's also going to break a record.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many sacks do the Chiefs have and the Chiefs' defensive line have?
The Chiefs themselves as a team have 22 sacks. As a defensive line, 13 and a half.
They can have two first rounds.
So as much as like that, it'll be like, oh, what an indictment on the Chiefs. No, that just also says way more about Myles Garrett to me.
It says both. Is the truth. It is both an indictment on the Chiefs and
but because we already know the Chiefs front four has been terrible. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We already know the front four has been a massive problem for the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs.
I almost feel like it doesn't necessarily look worse, but when you actually look at, in fairness, Myles Garrett's the only individual player who has more sacks than the entire Chiefs defensive line.
He's a freak.
Brian Burns has 13, and Michael Parsons has 12 and a half.
So Brian Burns still has more than the entire defensive line.
Well, almost as much. It's 13 and a half for the Chiefs defensive line, but it's close.
Oh, man. I mean, it's obviously been their biggest problem as a team this year. I think we all know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not even like, I'm not breaking new ground by saying that. It's just, it's hard, man. I want a pass rusher. You know, we talk about like the left tackle. Well, now that maybe they got that with Simmons, depending on where they are. Now I'd like them to have the other thing that a lot of great teams have, which is an elite level defensive pass rusher. And they had that with Chris Jones for a while.
Yeah, throughout
Chris Jones was
throughout
an elite
the run.
Level.
In fairness to Chris, he's also a defensive tackle. So the fact that he's interior and also,
yeah, great value.
It doesn't have the same magnitude, but it still is.
It has more magnitude.
It's why
than a lot
he's going to.
Yeah,
why
he's been as good as he has been.
It's
yeah.
why he's going to be a Hall of Famer because he was an interior defensive lineman doing what he was doing sack wise. So we'll talk more about this with Nate Taylor about 25 minutes from now. Our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Hope you guys are having a good Tuesday. Can always interact with us on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running. If you're new to the show, you didn't know we stream the show on video as well. YouTube, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe. You don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Let's talk about all three locals on the college basketball front for a second. Starting with Kansas, they have the marquee matchup tonight with UConn. It's a top 25 matchup. Allen Fieldhouse, the big news today, Darren Peterson still not playing for Kansas. Bill Self saying he's close, not 100%. They have a game on Sunday against Mizzou. We'll see if he's ready for that, Cody, obviously, as we get closer to that one. But it's a bummer because it kind of kills a lot of the intrigue, in my opinion. Maybe not for others, but my opinion.
Kills some of it, for sure.
For the game tonight. If I wanted to get a real test to see where they were at, they played well without them in Vegas, but this is a different animal in UConn. Top five team?
Fifth, yeah.
In the country. Kansas, a 2.5-point underdog tonight. So you have that. Look, if they were somehow to pull this one out, I would feel great about their path moving forward with Darren Peterson.
I would start thinking them as if they win tonight, even though it's at Allen Fieldhouse, but without Darren Peterson, I think you can make a strong argument that you have to take them serious as a national, like a title contender. They actually have a chance to win a title. And I'm not saying they couldn't get there eventually anyway. This would just be earlier than I would be willing to say it. I want Darren Peterson back on the court for them because it makes them a more interesting team to watch and follow. For the same reason I would want Kansas State or Missouri's leading scorers to be available as well. Kansas, I think, knows that for the last couple of years, it's not just their Big 12 to take and have and do whatever they want with. And they know that the Big 12 is a bitch.
Yeah, Houston and BYU are going to be insane this year.
They have three top 10 teams right now, and Iowa State, too. Yeah. So they got three absolute brutal teams in the Big 12, on top of it already being a deep conference. It'll probably be a seven-team conference in the NCAA tournament, eight-team, whatever they'll end up getting.
Yeah.
And so when you start looking at it, they have to save Darren Peterson for conference play if that's what it takes.
Yeah, maybe
MU on Sunday, I don't know.
I'll get way more concerned if a few weeks from now he's still not playing after saying he was close. But ultimately, what matters for their big picture season is Darren Peterson has to get to 100%. I'm not playing him until he does. And if that's the case, so I have no issue with them slow playing it, if that's what you want to call it. He has to be right for them to accomplish what you want to accomplish at Kansas.
I guess, but it's been a month. Is this starting to border on the Eric Berry situation? How many times are you going to tell me he's close and not playing until he plays?
Yeah, I guess I get the comp. I would say the difference is in college basketball, we all know deep down November and December just don't matter all that much. And you know, if your goals are winning a title, getting to a Final Four, certainly at a program like Kansas, you have no chance of doing that without Darren Peterson. So give him all the time you need, but we'll see. It's definitely one to watch again, heading into Sunday. As far as Mizzou, they take on Notre Dame tonight. I'm curious about this game because they play Kansas on Sunday and KU already played Notre Dame. So you get a common opponent thing, give you a little barometer
of where team handled that,
where team is at. And then you have Kansas State who lost to Bowling Green last night at home.
They were down as much as 18 or 20 at one point in that. And Bowling Green's having a nice start to their season, if that means anything. They've lost three straight games. When they started 5-0 and P.J. Haggerty looked like he was going to be one of the... He was at that time, Drew, and you can back me up on this, I think. At that time, P.J. Haggerty was one of the five favorites to win National Player of the Year.
I think he was the best guard in the portal.
They were five. Plain no, I meant like, yeah, but when they were 5-0 and he was scoring,
yeah.
He was the fifth most likely guy to win National Player of the Year in college basketball. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe K-State and Tang's, maybe he's got that magic back. Got in the portal, found his dude. They can't stop anything, anyone.
Yeah, defense is
Bowling
a massive issue.
Green score 80 plus on them every single game. I don't think there's a tournament team, which means it's going to go right back to the same thing.
It doesn't.
They're going to have to ask whether they got to fire Tang at the end of the season if they don't make the tournament again.
They don't look like one, but I do want to caution December 2nd. Teams can round into form and change. I would agree with you right this second. It sure doesn't look great for their chances there. But in the Big 12, you're going to have opportunity after opportunity to get your resume to where it needs to be. We are talking about 68 teams making the damn tournament. You know, and all that. I think it's too early to say they're just not. Right now, they don't look like one. They got to play a heck of a lot better, but... let's see where things are at about. I'll give it to end of January before I am like, oh, clearly they're not going to be that team. But because P.J. Haggerty is that special of a player that I think it'd be way too early to act as if they can't get everybody else to get along for the ride here, then it'll be a problem.
I mean, from a talent perspective, they've got in P.J. Haggerty and then Abdi Bashir, they got a pair of the best shooters in terms, especially Bashir.
But he can't
in terms of shooters, but offensively, they're a threat to almost anybody who they play. But the problem is, like you guys have said, it's the defensive side of the ball where if you just take a 50-50 percentage, they might be stuck right around where they were last year. And that 16-16, 18-14 bubble sort of picture, if this is the way that it's going to continue to go, they might have some really impressive wins in the Big 12. But if they don't sort things out defensively, they might be right on that bubble picture once again.
I guess here's the biggest issue is that every year under Jerome Tang, other than the first one that went very well, feels like deja vu. Jerome Tang doesn't like his team. He goes portal hunting. He goes, finds his guy from Monmouth. He goes, finds a couple of Mac players. They're supposed to be dudes, and they get exposed, maybe, in Big 12 play or whatever else happens, or he can't ever get them together as a unit doing the same thing at the same time. They narrowly miss the tournament, and you just feel like you're stuck in neutral. It's the Mike Tomlins of college basketball programs, and then it doesn't feel like Jerome Tang's making you any better. You could be worse, I guess, but you're certainly not moving forward as a program. He just keeps going back into the portal and searching for these same guys over and over again, and it just doesn't feel like, it just feels like they're in neutral. It just doesn't feel like, it feels like they're doing the same thing every year, and he thinks he can build a team in the portal the way he did the first time. And it just hasn't ever hit.
And when you use the portal, it's a really risky game, I think, just from the standpoint of if they don't end up being the, I mean, you can just ask Kansas last year.
Right.
They got a couple of the best players, period, in the portal. AJ Store, it didn't work out because they didn't fit what they wanted to do. And as a result, he was out and they got bounced quickly in the tournament. AJ Store barely even played. Like, it's so hit or miss where if you rely, and that's, I think, part of the fascination with college sports and the portal is it can be what makes you a national title contender, but it can also kind of burn your program to the ground if it doesn't end up working out, and it could just totally fail.
Yeah, you can get Will Howard, and he can be good enough at quarterback to get you a national championship, or... And here's the thing, I think what they don't realize is most of the time it goes the other way. Portal, I think, is a great complement to the development of the rest of your program. You got a team like Ohio State, and you just need a dude to complete the puzzle, I think it works great.
I agree.
When you just go in there and you say, my three best players all came from the portal, I'll make them work as a basketball program, that's part of the issue Kansas has had.
When you're getting 50 guys like Deion is in the portal, it's a hard way to make that thing go.
Kansas was better when they were just keeping the same three guys around for 5 years, and then Ellis and Frank Mason all stuck together.
Which is why I think they're better from a freshman state, because they're building that nucleus of guys, and then they're adding a couple of players to complement. Yeah.
Now they did NIL when they won their title. NIL did exist. I think
it did.
I just want to point that out, but it did exist.
No, I'm just saying I think they were better in the team building part of it than before.
Well, I'd agree with that.
You're still relying on the freshman classes and building up your program, and then adding, like you said, the complements of guys that make you a tick better than everybody else because they
and they've had some portal misses
system you play
in, the last couple of years, and that obviously sets you behind a little bit when you're Kansas. Good news when you're Kansas, you just go right back in the portal and try to find another guy. You know, the next best guy to go get in the portal.
Random question.
Oh, you're stretching, trying to...
It's all right. Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit KCUrology.com today. Random question today comes via a scare around gift-giving time, you know? Christmas, the holidays, and all this other stuff. There are people who are now worried about AI toys and whether or not they should be giving them to your kids. So the random question I have for you today is... One, are you willing to get your kid an AI toy, for starters? And I'll explain what they are here in just a minute. And two, what are the other things that are on the absolutely no list for you from a gift-giving perspective? For instance, my kid has been asking, Desmond is now asking to try drums. So I'm going to go take him a place where he plays some drums. I'm not getting him drums yet.
You don't want that in the house.
Not yet.
You don't want that in the house.
If he loves it, then it is what it is, and I'll get the kid some drums. But like... I'm not just stepping into it yet. That's not, you know, I'm not doing that. First off, the AI toys. Mm-hmm. Part of the issue they're having is they have these AI teddy bears. Not way different than what we had when we had Teddy Ruxpin back in the
80s. Or the Furbies, right?
But because of their learning models, here are some of the problems they say that they're finding in some of these now recalled AI teddy bears. One, they would alert you to things like dangerous items in the house if you were persistent or... demanding of it. So if you like bullied the bear a little bit, if you're like, where's the knife? The bear might tell you then.
And we don't think the kids already know the knife is in the kitchen.
Well, I don't know, man. He's asking the bear about it.
This feels like people just blame, they don't like AI and they're just blaming it for problems that already exist.
So their issues is that the toys connect to Wi-Fi, use a microphone, understand responses from children, and that they ultimately don't want their kid speaking to this AI toy that could alert them to some things they don't want to alert them to.
Uh-huh.
Would you be anti that, I guess, if you had a kid? Would you be anti getting them an AI toy?
If it was a teddy bear, no. If it was like a computer or something, like it truly, I understand the AI, the computer inside the robot or the teddy bear, but you get my point. Like,
simple computer.
What is the teddy bear going to, like the teddy bear is not going to get, you would think someone's going to hack the teddy bear, Cody, and the teddy bear is just gonna just start doing ridiculous things. Like, I'm not convinced that if you're talking to this teddy bear and if the kid is having a conversation, that that is what's going to convince the kid to go do something.
It says, you know, they're claiming it allows your kid to freely generate content and this other stuff, but they're also saying that makes it very vulnerable. Where you take the teddy bear and content, it might follow you down that road.
Well, then the kid was already thinking that.
Yeah, but like, this could encourage the thing. I kind of don't think I want an AI toy for the kid. You know, I think I am kind of anti it in a way, or at least until I'm sure these things work a little bit better, because they certainly are not foolproof models by any particular means. And do they have any guardrails? You know, what are the safety measures in place? I don't feel like I know that. I know what the safety measure in place is if I get my kid a lawn dart. They already got rid of those a long time ago. It's a giant pointy thing that they can throw in the yard. I know that I got to be smart if they're using that. AI teddy bear, supposed to monitor that use all the time? In a weird way, I guess you just monitor it the same way you would if you got him a cell phone or a computer or anything else.
I guess that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not acting like AI can't be problematic, but I don't view why is the teddy bear any different than how you would parent around anything else.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because it just seems, oh, well, I guess I don't give them, they don't
have cell
phones.
Your kid has an iPad.
Does have an iPad, but they're also like, can I safety measure the bear?
I don't know.
Because
in
the iPad, I can block websites. They can't get on YouTube.
Right?
Like, they don't have access to certain websites on the iPad. I can block certain apps or websites.
But on the teddy bear, they would have to ask the teddy bear something. It's like the teddy bear's not showing them how to do something.
But, you know, like, there's been other lawsuits and stuff come up with over the AI stuff in this. I understand.
Yeah.
It's not physically showing them how to do stuff. I give them step by step.
But the kid would have to ask that.
I will say, my daughter's got an Alexa in her room to play music. And she pretty much...
Parent.
parent your kid? My daughter has an Alexa in her room. She plays music in and, like, stories and all this other stuff. I'm always a little bit worried about her interaction with it because she bullies it. She's like, Alexa! Do this thing! If it's not listening, she's always just so mad at it. Like, oh, what are you? What is your stupid problem? Get it together, Alexa! We're trying to work through this stuff. I asked for this song. She gets so frustrated with it when it won't play the thing that she wants. I'm like, hey, be nicer to Alexa. She's like, just a robot.
Like, I wouldn't mind Alexa and I like talking back. See, like, you guys are like, oh, no, I don't want. No, this is where I actually would. You know what? Who the hell do you think you are? I would like that response back. I'd respect it.
Oh, you want a little pushback?
It's an Alexa. It's not. We're not talking like these nightmare type things. These are not. It's not like there's some humanoid robot in your house where you're worried that it literally is going to get hacked and try to kill you. The Alexa device can only do so much. Okay, you know what I mean,
Cody. By the way, you might want to get Desmond the drum set.
Oh yeah,
from the 913. Buy your kid the drums. I bought my kid his first drum set as a kid. He just finished two world tours with Beyonce.
Oh, that's dope.
Wow.
Congrats, first
That's
off.
Awesome.
I figure we'll put him in some like lessons first and see if he likes it.
School of rock. Cody's going school of rock.
Yeah.
If you did get a drum set, that has to go in the garage, correct? Like I don't think there's another option.
No, I'd let him have it in his room, I guess. I don't know. You can buy silencer things. You can buy like mats for the top of kids.
Yeah, I was going to say like the carpet.
Soften the sounds. Yeah. You can buy things that like soften the internal sound of a drum set.
Just build him a studio,
make sure
like one of these side ones, and you'll be good to go.
But I'm not going to buy him drums until I know he likes them. You know?
That also
It's not the
fair.
Same as buying a soccer ball. It's just like, you know, I'm going to wait and make sure that he actually enjoys the instrument. Mm. He's been doing tennis lessons. We've been asking what other activity he wants to do, and he said drums.
Oh, with Kling?
So, no, not with Kling. Kling and I live on opposite sides of town, so
yeah,
not going with Kling. But
see, like now people are presenting, like, the most ridiculous scenario. Someone says, Gold, you know, it may not be a robot, but Alexa can help you find a hitman on the black web. Look, if you're trying to do that already, there's already some problems going on. Like, if you are already asking Alexa about a hitman on the black web, you're going to do any means necessary to go find that anyway. Like, I guess that's where I'm like, I don't blame AI for that. That you already got something going on in your mind at that point, right?
But shouldn't we stop AI from looking that stuff up?
Well, that's a whole much deeper conversation.
Get on the black web.
Well, that's a much deeper conversation. You know, I could use that example for other things than why do people need certain things. That's a whole Pandora's box that you just tried to open up there.
Someone says, quit yelling Alexa into the
Alexa,
radio.
Is Cody wrong? Or is Gold wrong?
See if it plays on your at-home speaker. Sorry.
Alexa, will the Bengals miss the playoffs? Response back, that's a dumb question. Of course they will.
I'm just asking, which one do you do? Do you remember a toy that you particularly loved as a child? Was there one other than a video game system? That always seems like it's pretty high on the list. My aunt gave us all the Super Nintendo. That was a
So I had like one of those, not remote control. What, I don't even know what the... I had like a true like electronic locomotive train set. That I love that as a kid.
Ooh,
like,
okay.
Like, it was like legit one that had like the steam coming out of it and everything. I loved it.
My daughter likes dance and creative and all this other stuff. So it's like a harder, more difficult thing to like finely tune. My kid has been getting into Lego more. So there's been a little bit more of that around the house. Him and his friend built one the other day when he was over.
I just don't know. I never was that into Legos. I would never today have enough patience to try to do spend like we 3 never, weeks doing that.
I think it's because he says he's going to be an engineer.
Okay, well,
he's
there you go.
I'm going to be an engineer. Mm-hmm. And then he'll get like tape he's already and no way cards
smarter.
Out
That's
stuff,
the problem.
So.
He's already smarter. This makes more sense.
That's why he likes the Lego.
Yeah.
We always were like cars stuff.
Yeah,
so you know, like those mats that have the streets and stuff, or like the racetracks and everything like that. We used to get like little mini diecast cars and race cars and stuff.
Someone says, what about the Furbies? Yeah, those things were creepy even as a kid. I'm saying Furby, Drew.
Yeah.
Furby.
Yeah. What is a, I think I don't know the name. I might know what you're talking about, but the name Furby doesn't ring.
I don't know. How would you describe
it?
It
was
a little tiny creature.
Yeah,
Had like long eyelashes and the eyes would like.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I know.
Late 90s thing.
Legend over on Twitch says the new Furbies are scary. Scary in one way.
They have new Furbies?
Things come back around. Everything's
They have new Tamagotchis while we're at it?
You loved your Tamagotchi.
Oh, man,
you said you got in trouble multiple times.
I got in a lot of trouble. We were going to a show at Starlight when I was a kid. My family was, and I wanted to keep playing the Tamagotchi. And, you know, I made noise, and I guess maybe I couldn't turn the noise off. And it got to the point where, to this day, it still gets brought up. And I can't remember what show they were going to see. We were there, and they had to leave the whole show. They bought tickets for all five of us, and we had to leave because I ruined the whole thing by playing my
You said
Tamagotchi.
They still only live down. All right, yeah. I've got one toy I'm not going to get my kids for Christmas. Do you guys want to look it up so you can see what I'm talking about? They're called Fugglers.
Excuse me?
F-U-G-G-L-E-R. Go and look that up and tell me if you want your kid to have that. They look like real human teeth.
Fugglers. No way. This is stupid. What?
Laboratory Misfits, 9-inch plush.
Nope.
This is what you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Look at them, dude. Look at all the different examples. Look at the teeth.
I mean, it just looks like a little plush monster.
Look at the teeth.
They look
like real teeth.
But do they feel like real teeth?
I don't know.
If it's plush, then who cares?
I don't like the teeth.
This is why you're not getting this for your kid?
They haven't asked, but it's also on the no list.
That's just.
I'm looking at the teeth, like yeah.
Why would you? Hold on. Why would you want that? That would be my. If they did ask Cody, my first question would be like, why do you want this?
Kids, man, they want all kinds of stuff. My daughter just wants like a laptop or a phone.
She's
9. I'm not trying to give her unfettered access to the internet. Uh-huh. We just talked about this. I'm holding off on the phone till middle school.
That's when I got mine.
Honestly, that feels early.
It was one of those flip phones. I didn't get a phone until I was in eighth grade. It was a flip phone. It was one of those track phones.
Yeah.
You know, that you had to buy a minutes on or whatever.
I think we should bring back home phones. New take? Bring back home phones.
There is a nostalgia.
Let kids call kids, on a damn cell phone.
There is a
not so they can have access to the internet. Well, they want to talk to each other?
There's a nostalgic aspect to that. I was talking to my parents on the phone. I'm dead serious. I was writing something as I was doing it. Popped my phone over on the side, and I was leaned over like this. Like it was resting on my shoulder. And I thought to myself, a home phone would actually be more comfortable.
I mean, I'm like you guys. I have my home phone number still memorized from a kid, you know, as a kid. It's one of those, you just never forget that. Now we don't, you know, other than maybe like four numbers, I don't have any other number memorized everything else is in your phone now. But as a kid, I can tell you
you can probably still tell Billy down the street.
Yeah, I have
8237553, man. That thing, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who's got my home phone number from childhood, but I don't think it,
Yeah, let's call up Drew's childhood phone number.
I didn't give you the area code, so yeah, I don't want
to
bother
anybody.
That would
be easy to figure out. There's only so many in Indianapolis.
Roughly where you live.
Yeah,
there's only so many in Indianapolis. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, that is the random question of the day. Someone says Tamagotchis. They do have new ones. Yeah, man, I loved those as a kid. That was the coolest thing.
Little pet you could feed.
Yeah, man. I thought it was cool.
Maybe we had more AI than we think. Tamagotchi, learning, feeding. Somebody mentioned that 21 questions. 21 things you guys questions. Ever have that little thing? It'd be like questions. You try to think of something in your head and it'd ask you 21 questions to correctly guess your answer.
I don't know if I had that. I had, what was the little magic eight ball thing you would shake?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Magic eight ball?
No, was that what it was called?
Yeah, I think it was.
I
was
you like, know what I'm talking about, though, right?
I was like, you just described
you know what I'm talking about. Was that what it was called? Okay. Well, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Magic 8-Ball, plastic sphere made to look like an oversized 8-Ball, fortune-telling, seeking advice.
That's the random question of the day.
Our toys were so much different than, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. Somewhat similar, but AI never would have thought anything like that.
Yeah, I guess you don't. I guess the Magic 8-Ball is completely obsolete. You can just ask Alexa or anything.
Hey, sure. It still has like a...
Shake.
Yeah, like yeah. A, you know, like a...
In fairness, I don't think there was any reason with the Magic 8-Ball, which made it fun.
No, it was random, but it's still. I imagine they still sell those.
All right, up next, let's get back to some football. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, will join us. We'll get his thoughts on where the offensive line is at health-wise, plus this Texans defense and what kind of matchup it is for Kansas City.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.